Coming up now from WNCW is this week's More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster. Back in studio with me is Corey Valancourt, who represents Smoky Mountain News. Good to see you.
Always good to be here, Paul.
Recently, Corey wrote an article called Forced to Fight, Opioid Data Puts Local Addiction in Context. That's going to be our discussion today. Who is Clayton Suggs? Because early in your article, you introduced us to him.
Clayton Suggs is a Haywood County native, not much different than anyone else you would see on the street. Everyone told me he was a good kid, a straight shooter, never really got into trouble. But in his 20s, after he had passed some of these milestones, he had bought a house, he was going to school, working full-time. He had a routine surgery for a nasal problem, and they sent him out the door with a prescription of Percocet, and that was the start of a long, slow slide.
That's what's happening in a lot of people's life. They're dealing with some kind of pain, often coming off of an operation or something else, and they need a prescription.
It's no surprise that the opioid epidemic is affecting the entire United States, but I think what most people would find surprising is that a lot of people who get addicted to opioids don't do so of their own accord. Their doctor ends up being the first person to prescribe these to them, and they unknowingly become hooked, and from then on out, it ends up being a really tragic situation. If it's something that you pursue and you end up addicted, that's one thing. But when you think that you're getting medical care and instead you're about to develop a debilitating addiction, that's quite another.
For our regular listeners, this won't come as a surprise to you. You've heard us report it in news stories before. You've heard it from NPR newscast. What this epidemic is like all over the country is. What about the data? Was it shocking to you what was revealed? And tell us the group, your source for this information.
The Washington Post, in conjunction with another newspaper in West Virginia, fought a court battle with the DEA to get them to release data. It's an opioid pain pill tracking database that tracks every pain pill sold in the United States. So the Washington Post took that data and kind of reformatted it and focused on hydrocodone and oxycodone. Those are the most likely opioids to be diverted from legitimate uses and abused. And so the Washington Post, you can find this database online for free. It breaks it down to a statewide and a county level, so you can tell exactly how many prescription painkillers are coming in and out of your county and which pharmacies they come out of.
What about the actual counties and cities? You were kind enough to also get some information in other regions that our signal goes out to.
The Washington Post, they produced a really beautiful map of this epidemic, and you can look at it again online, and you'll see they've discovered something they call the opioid belt. That runs from about south central West Virginia down through the Smokies into northern Kentucky and east central Kentucky. So those are the areas that are hardest hit. Now here in western North Carolina, we've been spared somewhat from that. Our pill numbers are far lower than that region itself. Certainly the amount of pills, the millions and millions of pills that are coming into almost every county in the United States means no county has actually been spared from this.
Of course, we're located here at the college in Rutherford County. What about the region we cover?
Well, I think if you look at it first from a higher level statewide, I think the average number of pills per person per year in North Carolina is about 35, which is a huge number considering most of us never take these ever. So there are all these pills kind of floating around. When you look into western North Carolina, this is a testament to the rural character of this epidemic. Some of the counties out by us, Haywood, Jackson, Macon, Swain, Cherokee, Clay, Graham, they seem to be on the receiving end of far more pills than the statewide average, which is really bizarre because we have far lower populations than the rest of the state. But then when you look at bigger counties like Mecklenburg and Wake, they have about half the number of pills we receive. So in the WNCW listening area, if you're looking at upstate South Carolina, it's about 79, 80 pills per person per year. It's far higher than western North Carolina. Down into Franklin County, Georgia is over 100 pills per person per year. Rutherford County is a very western North Carolina type of place, very rural and very similar to our coverage area. They're in the 50s, about 51 pills per person per year. And this is over the study period that the Washington Post analyzed, which is 7 years from 2006 through 2012. Then you get up into the panhandle of Virginia. There's 80 to 100 pills per person per year in those counties. One of the worst in North Carolina is Cherokee County, and that is right on the border with Tennessee. So East Tennessee, Southeast Kentucky, the panhandle of Virginia, upstate South Carolina, western North Carolina. It sounds like a broken record.
Incredible. We're talking to Corey Valancourt of Smoky Mountain News on More to the Story from WNCW as he recaps his article called Forced to Fight, Opioid Data Puts Local Addiction in Context. Now let's talk about this, Corey, which was featured in your article. You share with us the names of distributors, kind of like a top three that are providing these pills we've been talking about.
Right. And the Washington Post also provides this data. So you see almost in every community, it's Walmart that has the most. In Haywood County alone, during those 7 years, there was about 3.5 million hydrocodone and oxycodone pills coming in and out of the Walmart. Now, let's be careful not to demonize Walmart, because those are legitimate prescriptions that Walmart fulfills. It's just after they're filled, they're diverted from what their intended use is supposed to be. And there's, I think the point of the Post story is that the overprescription of these opioids is what makes them so plentiful on our streets.
People are desperate, aren't they?
That's right. And if you look at the story of Clayton Suggs, after he became addicted, he was in and out of rehab for 6 or 7 years. His mom said he was a functioning drug addict. He still went to work. His girlfriend didn't even know.
Corey, you've talked, of course, to Clayton Suggs' mother. There's others out there, though, that are trying to get past this, the recovery process.
It's probably the worst part of this whole epidemic is once you're hooked, it's extremely difficult to stop. You can probably quit eating ice cream or quit drinking alcohol or quit smoking cigarettes, but stopping opioid use is very, very difficult. Clayton went to a rehab facility in Greensboro. He was clean a year. He had a girlfriend. He had a job. He had goals. He wanted to work for that recovery program. And on the first night, alone in his new apartment, he overdosed on heroin and fentanyl.
I think many of us know someone that has dealt with this kind of a problem, and it's not something that you can just walk away from. And thank you for sharing this with us, an incredible story that tells us so much. Remind everybody about how they can follow you and other reporters.
Sure. Smoky Mountain News is distributed in 4 western counties, Haywood, Jackson, Macon, Swain, parts of the Quala boundary, and a little bit of Buncombe County. You can always find us online at Smoky Mountain News on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
One of our frequent guests, always glad to have him, from the Smoky Mountain News, Corey Valancourt on More to the Story. Thank you again.
Thank you, Paul.
Podcast of More to the Story available at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.